Next, we have Teresa Clark. There she is. Okay, Teresa is with the law firm of Wright Abshire in Bel Air, Houston area. I apologize. Her practice is focused on elder law, encompasses estate planning, public benefits planning, probate, guardianship, Medicaid estate recovery, and estate and trust administration. And in her bio, it also says that she went to the University of Michigan in 1992, where she was a trumpet player in the Spartan Marching Band. Thank you.
Marilyn, I have to correct you. Michigan State University. It's like UT and A&M. I mean, that's okay. That's all right. No, thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right. Hi, everybody. I am not going to spend too much time on the Medicaid rules, but I do want to give a brief overview of eligibility requirements, very brief, and some of the planning opportunities for clients seeking to apply for Medicaid. And that's to just put it in the context, right, of using guardianship. So I'm going to then discuss the not at all uncommon situation in which we have a client who's seeking to apply for Medicaid who suffers from diminished capacity, right? And I'm going to discuss two opportunities that are afforded by the Texas Estates Code that help clients meet this, meet their Medicaid goals. Okay, Medicaid is a federal program that is administered by the states, and in Texas, that's the Health and Human Services Commission, HHSC. And my focus today is just on Medicaid for the elderly and people with disabilities or long-term care in a nursing home or care at home under the STAR Plus waiver program. The Medicaid applicant must be a U.S. citizen or have an approved alien status, be a Texas resident, be over the age of 65, blind or disabled. They must have a medical condition that supports a medical necessity to receive skilled nursing care on a regular basis. And unless they're applying for STAR Plus waiver, they have to be residing in a Medicaid facility and in a Medicaid bed. Okay. A single applicant or a married applicant with an ineligible spouse must have a gross monthly income of less than $2,829. Federal law, of course, also prescribes a limit on countable resources, the general rule being the applicant cannot have more than $2,000 or $3,000, skyrocketing to $3,000 if both spouses are applying. Now, if you've got one spouse, a married applicant whose spouse is at home not applying for Medicaid, that spouse is called the community spouse, right? And then we have some different rules, and the couple can protect more. So this is the spousal protected resource amount, or the SPRA, and this part of the Medicaid law was enacted to avoid impoverishing the community spouse, okay? So in this situation, they can protect half of their countable resources up to a maximum. Right now, that's $154,140. So for example, if they've got $280,000 of countable resources, then the SPRA is $140,000, and then they have to spend down the other $140,000. Now, if their incomes are sufficiently low, then they may be able to protect more, maybe all of their resources. I'm just going to put a plug in for Jennifer Coulter's wonderful paper from last year, Couples Medicaid Planning. It's really a must read. Must read. All right. In Medicaid transfers by either spouse for less than fair market value made within 5 years of a filing an application are penalized. How? Well, HHSC assesses a time penalty, right, where they take the value of the gift, the total value of the gift or gifts made, and they divide that by the average private daily average daily private pay cost of a nursing home according to HHSC. Okay, and they put this out every 2 years. Right now it's $242.13.